Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And Drew.
Yes, Adam.
Just got off the plane in beautiful Burbank.
That's smart since your radio station is by LAX.
I know, but my car's in Burbank. Yeah. Oh, let's not. This is what I chose to do, Drew. It's my chosen profession. I chose to captivate the people.
Yes.
And I'm standing by it.
Okay.
I want to talk about is a couple of things. First off, I always do this one, too. I don't make the when I'm out of town, I don't make the distinction between L.A. and Burbank. I pull up to the counter when I'm out of Los Angeles and say, I'm going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because that's where I think I'm going.
Yeah.
And they think I'm going to Burbank, and they would be right.
Oof.
But to me, it's all Los Angeles when I'm out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always like, I'm going to Los Angeles. Ooh, that's a 7:45 flight. Oh, geez, I thought it was 7:15. Well, no, 7:4. And it's always a moment of terror and confusion before I realize, Burbank.
You want to blame the airline for that confusion?
Can't blame anybody.
You're going to take responsibility for that one.
That's me.
All right, got it.
I did not, I brought that one on myself. Right. But an honest mistake.
Yes.
It's weird saying you're flying back to a city in the valley. So, took the Southwest flight.
Good times.
Got my peanuts. Enjoy my peanuts. Let me tell you what I like in life, and I got no problem with this. I got the, people skimp on stuff. Like, you know, you go to the Mexican food, fast food place, and you go, they throw you one hot sauce packet, and you go, hey, could I have a couple of those hot sauce? And then you get the metric ton.
Mm-hmm.
This is the F-off thing where the truck backs up. Lifts up and 750 of these packets knock you down and carry you out into the street. I'm fine with that, though. I like that. That's good. I'll never bother you again. This works, by the way, if anyone's listening, fly Southwest, it always worked this way at the peanuts.
Right.
I enjoy peanuts a lot. They throw you the peanut packet. You say to the stewardess, could I have a couple of... She dumps the box on your head. I mean, it's like she brings a catcher's mitt full of peanuts and then dumps them onto your lap. It's great. It's like being an elephant.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it.
She wants to be you to know she's pissed, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a combo. It's like, hey, you want peanuts? Huh? I got your goddamn peanuts. No, it's not really bad. It's just, here's a guy. I don't want you. If we circumnavigate the globe in the 737, I don't want you to ask me for a peanut ever again.
Right.
That's the amount of peanuts you get, and I'm fine with that. But the thing I want to ask you about, Drew, and it's something I found interesting, is a crowded flight. I'm sitting right in between two 200-plus-pound guys, naturally boxed in between them. And the guy on the left is driving me nuts.
He's a buddy of yours or just somebody you sat down next to?
Two strangers.
Okay.
The guy on the right is reading his magazine and not making any noise, and the guy on the left is his skin is crawling. His foot is tapping, click, 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 click. I can hear him breathing. People don't realize how much noise they make when they breathe. You know, he's just...
Oh, my God.
And you know me.
Yes, I know you.
You know me. I got my hyper...
Vigilance.
Hyper-vigilance. Yes. I notice I lock on. Here's what my brain does. It just floats around like the top of an AWACS plane, those radar planes. And then I look for things to latch on to. Beep, 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 beep. That's what I do. And this guy. His foot's tapping. And then he's doing a little bongo thing on his knee.
Nervous, he's flying.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. From the guys, he's a nervous flyer.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing. He's fidgeting. But it's as if, it's like he has poison oak or something. Yeah, it's like when Drew flips the stick up, the post-it pads, and drives me insane. And the guy just seems uncomfortable in his own skin, and I think he's a nervous flyer. So we take off, and we get more than halfway into the flight, and he's fidgeting.
Mm-hmm.
His foot's tapping. And it's not nervous fidgeting. He doesn't know it.
Hmm.
It's involuntary. Mm-hmm. It's not... He doesn't look nervous. He looks uncomfortable in his skin.
And
I'm starting to, I'm really, now I'm locked in on the guy. I'm trying to read my magazine, but I can't. I'm hearing the labored breathing, watching, seeing the foot tapping, this, that, and the other. And then I realize this guy, he's a sober guy. It strikes me. This is how sober guys act. They're uncomfortable oftentimes, especially when you hold them down. They're great when they're moving around. They got a lot of energy. They got to have a cup of coffee in their hand. They got to have a cigarette in their hand. They got to have some dice in their hand. They got to be on their way somewhere or on their way back from somewhere. They don't hold still real good, sober guys. This is the sober guys I know.
Well, here's what it is. There are, people who not good sobriety would, people that are abstinent but not well into sobriety would behave like that, because addicts who are not using get what's called bored really easily, which means when they are about to have a feeling they don't like, they got to do something. They got to move. They got to go.
Right.
And that this is that. He's having anxiety. He's having depression. Whatever it is. He doesn't like flying. He's got to do something.
Yeah, well, I don't think the guy was crawling the walls or anything. I just thought he reminded me of a friend of mine who's a sober guy who's got the same sort of fidget in his step. And I just started thinking, this guy's a programmer. That's all I could think.
Programmer.
Oh, program guy.
Yeah.
It's a friend of Bill W's. Uh-huh. And then I couldn't let that go. Now it was driving me insane. I was in worse shape than he was. Now I'm climbing the walls. Now I'm thinking, I got to ask this guy. Yeah, I got to know. He's sitting next to me. I have not even said, pardon me, when I slid into my seat, not established eye contact with the guy.
Oh, my God.
Not had a word with this guy, and we're getting close to landing, and I realize I got to know now. I got to know. It's going to drive me wacko.
Yeah.
And he's fidgeting. He's doing his thing. So I strike up a conversation with the guy. I give that what line you in. You know what I mean? That's adult talk, by the way,
right,
kids.
Yes.
When you become adults, you males at least. When you become adults, you get into that, what do you do? It's a good icebreaker. Mm-hmm. What line you in, bub? So we start talking about work and that kind of stuff. Then the plane lands, and we're standing up, and I realize this is it. We're going our separate ways. I got to make my move now. So
What'd you say?
I asked him.
What are you saying?
I asked him. I said, you in the program? You a sober guy? And he said, yeah. 5 years. And I just went, okay. Now I'm good. I can rest. I feel good now.
But look at what else you might have been feeling from him, too. It might not be just the physio. It's something else. You know, your radar picks up all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but it was curious because when the beverage cart came around, he ordered a water.
Mm-hmm.
And programmer guys get coffee and Coke constantly. I don't know these guys, especially when they're on an airplane, if they're feeling confined or nervous or whatever. Never known a guy to order, especially when you're talking freebies. Never known a guy to get a water. There's probably three guys on the whole plane that got a water. This guy got a water, and it screwed me up when he ordered the water.
Yeah, oh man.
And it was like, okay, he's not a sober guy. Sober guy wouldn't order the water, but then the feeling overtook me again.
Right.
And I realized, no, this got to be it.
And let's save some babies.
No. You just added more sober guy conversation to this.
10 minutes into flying talk.
So then I started thinking, now, what is that?
What is that feeling?
What is he?
I know it, but it's a feeling.
It's a feeling.
Because that's this thing I do for you when I know I'm around it. I just like, I can
wave
smell
your,
it.
That's when I fart, you do that.
When you do that when you fart. I do this when you fart.
Yeah, but this guy had 5 years under his belt.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying I know when I'm around it, whether they're using or not.
Okay.
Yeah,
good time.
And I can't tell you what it is.
Definite energy. Mark?
Yes.
You're 37?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I have a problem with, I have an erection, which is not a problem, but an hour or so after I have intercourse, I can wake up again or between 1 and 2 hours, and I'll have an erection again for the rest of the night, and it's like it really hurts in the morning.
What if you were to have sex again?
I can, like, once more after that, but then after that, it's like so painful. I really don't want to.
You sleep on your belly?
Yes.
So it's painful when you sleep on your belly?
Yes, most of the time, yes.
You put it, how do you dress? You put it against your belly or you try to shove it down?
No, I shove it down.
Well, how about
shoving
dressing?
It down is going to cause some irritation.
How about dressing up?
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
A little to the right, too. And then
right? I'm a lefty myself.
All right, whatever the natural turn is.
Listen, if your navel is high noon, it's 12 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead and put your dork about 1:15.
No, okay. He said left.
That is left.
Okay, that's right.
Well, it depends which way you look at the clock. And
no, it doesn't. Still your left side.
It goes to my left, yes.
All right.
You know what I'm saying,
yes,
Jerome?
I do. I get you.
Thank you.
And are you on any medication?
No, nothing.
Have you been on any medication?
In the past, I was on Darvocet.
Do you have any medical problems?
No, nothing that I know of.
Hmm.
They're good times.
I try to, but sometimes it's just a little too painful.
Hmm. I'm a little confused by all this. So you have sort of a priapism, which is a painful, sustained erection.
Yes.
And what happens if you masturbate?
It takes a lot longer. It's different, you know, a lot different.
I don't mean this,
different.
No, I mean, but what if you were to masturbate and ejaculate? Do you then awaken with an erection that's painful also that same night?
Yes.
Oh, that's very strange. What, and if you masturbate again?
I haven't tried it again. It's just...
But you sort of alluded to it being more painful if you did it again, if you had
sex.
Yes,
I can go twice, maybe three times sometime, and then after that, it's like it's just too painful to do it again.
Hmm.
And then once I get up and I go to the restroom and all that in the morning, it's gone.
How long has this been going on, your whole life?
The last, I'd say, year and a half, 2 years.
Hmm.
Is there a bladder issue here?
No, I don't have any health problems. I've been checked recently.
No, I know, but like when you do get up to go to the bathroom in the morning, you got to go real bad?
Yes, usually, yes.
You ever go in the middle of the night?
Yes.
Hmm.
See, here's what I'm coming on to, Drew.
Maybe the full bladder is causing the pain?
Yeah, maybe this is, I mean, I don't, he might not get this erection if he was completely evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's our angle. Maybe he should maybe do my alarm technique, Mark.
Yes.
Maybe you should attempt to urinate a couple hours after you go to bed.
Okay.
That's a one thing to try. Are you overweight?
No, not at all.
Mm, okay.
So why don't you do this, Mark? Get one of my egg timers. Okay, listen to me, everybody. All you people. It's going to be time for me to give my speech where I explain to everyone how to live. You know what I mean?
Isn't that every hour of each night you're on the radio?
Well, for instance, I haven't told people in a long time to put the lock on the bedroom door.
The barrel lock.
Barrel bolt. Nothing much. $4 over at the Ace Hardware store. Lock it when you go to bed. No one standing at the foot of your bed sharpening an axe in the middle of the night. No kid brother doesn't catch you beating off or giving fellatio to your boyfriend. Whatever it is. It's all... Think, Drew, of this psychological damage that has been caused because that lock historically has not been on a door.
Yes. True.
True?
Yeah.
Okay. Put that cheap lock on your door and lock it before you go to bed at night. And, guys, if you have a problem about wetting your bed or you get a boner and it's painful all night, get a little timer. Get that little kitchen timer. Takes a little AAA battery. Just click it in. Beep, beep. 2 hours, it'll go off 2 hours after you go to bed, whenever that is. And this is the beauty. See, people say to me, well, why not just use an alarm clock? And the reason you can't just use an alarm clock is because the alarm clock doesn't know when you go to bed.
What do you mean?
You can't set an alarm clock.
You have to reset it every time you went down.
Yeah, you could set it to go off at 3 a.m. every night, but on a weekend when you went to bed at 1:45 or 2 o'clock, it'd go off too early.
Right.
This is why you got to get this timer thing. And you should just use it for your regular alarm clock because there are many days, Drew, you get up at all different times, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to catch a flight. Sometimes you get to sleep in a little. Then the weekend comes around.
It's true.
You're all over the place. All right. You do the math every night. Ching, 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 ching. And you know what I love? I love to make it. See, I end up late because I try to make it to the next hour. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to do 6 hours. No, it's going to be late. No, I'm going to do it. Psychologically, it's nice to see the 6 on there instead of the 5:39. Mm-hmm. James?
Yeah, James. Go ahead.
All right.
You go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I've been seeing this girl for about 3 or 4 months. I'm 24. She's 25. And we've had sex pretty frequently. She always said no anal sex. She was very against that. Well, the other day, or last week, I talked her into it. She said make sure you use a condom because she wanted to get staph infection. And she said also make sure you use plenty of lubricant.
Staph infection? Do you have staph on your penis?
No, I don't know. I don't know too much. I've never done really anal sex with anybody.
Okay.
Well, I put on a condom. I put on plenty of lubricant. And I put my penis in her ass, and as soon as I did that, she started bawling. Mm-hmm. I mean, and she cried for a good, I took it out, she cried for a good 5-10 minutes after that. So,
James, 24-year-old adult.
Huh.
You know what I said? Put my penis in her ass. She said,
I should have bawling.
Now, don't be going there if you don't get no lube. I don't want to get no staph infection. Maybe she said, I don't want your staph in my...
crack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But he put his penis in there. And she started crying, right, James?
Yeah, she started crying.
All right. Now what?
I don't know. That's what I was saying. Did I do something wrong or something I could do next time to not make it as painful?
What did you ask her that?
She doesn't know. She's never done anything like that either.
Is there going to be a next time? She just spent 10 minutes crying. Is she mad at you?
She said no. She said she ain't mad at me, but she said she don't want to do it again. But
all right. So why are you worrying about a next time then?
I think there may be a next time.
Didn't she say there would be no next time?
Yeah, but she said there'd never be a first time to begin with.
James is diabolical. He's a mad scientist.
But James, you understand that the first time she said no, that was just on the hunch and the general suspicion that this may be very painful and uncomfortable. Now she knows the truth. It has been affirmed. You see,
is it supposed to be that painful for her, though?
It can be for many people, yes. It can be horrible.
The point is you got no shot at doing this again, James, and you're only going to get yourself into trouble if you try, because the first argument was based on, you don't know. Now she knows.
Now you're saying to her, I want to hurt you again. I don't care that it was exquisitely painful to you. I want to try it again.
Think about all those things you tried once. I don't know why, but I'm thinking about the time I tried to,
this should be good.
Something I'll never do again.
Yes, yes.
I was...
Oh, this is a vacuum cleaner in your penis?
No.
No.
I was in my... Oh, I should have killed myself. I'm still angry at myself for not killing myself.
Let's all share in this.
I think I've told you this before. I when I lived in my apartment in North Hollywood, there was a small door that separated the kitchen from the living room. And had some bad apartment streamlined casing that went around the door. It's just that door, that the molding that goes around the door, hangs out on the top about 5/8 of an inch, but it's sort of rounded over and it's painted with high gloss enamel. Well, my buddy Chris grabbed that stuff with his fingers, and he in the door jamb, and he slowly lifted his knees up to his chest. And then he walked his feet over between his arms and lowered himself back down, essentially taking his feet and doing a flip.
Yeah.
All a very slow, slow way. I then decided this was something I needed to do.
Oh, boy.
And I grabbed onto the thing with my fingers on probably both sides of the door jamb.
This way.
Yeah. Doing it this way. I know it's great radio.
Palms facing each other.
Well, whichever way it is, you got to hang on to these things with your fingertips, and there's not much up there to grab onto.
So you were upside down.
And I was upside down, and I was at the point where I was putting my knees and my feet sort of threading them through me, and I've gotten through them, but then they got kind of caught up on the jam.
Chris's arms, by the way, are abnormally long.
Yeah. Arms are long too.
Not like his.
His are strong. No, my arms are as long as his. Really? His ain't as strong. And I got this is all finger strength. I got my feet caught up like on the ceiling. And right about the time I thought, hey, look at my feet on the ceiling, my fingers gave way. And I just landed straight on my head. Just on my head. My hands were above me.
Yes. Still suspended on.
I was trying to cling to the thing, and my head just. Plop. I just pile drive my head.
That's how people break their neck.
I should have.
Yeah.
I wish I would have. Mm-hmm. I took my head, and it was beautiful because the living room had carpet and the kitchen had linoleum, and it had that bad aluminum threshold strip, and that's where my head landed, right on that metal strip. And I just plowed my head directly into the floor, and then my shoulder hit 1/10 of a second after that. Anyway, here's the point. Never going to do that again. Never. Couldn't talk me into it. There's not enough rosin for my fingertips, not enough weed in all of Jamaica.
And if that were,
and
by
not
the way,
enough money in Switzerland for me to do that again.
If that were just generally about a 7 of things you were never going to try again, this one that this young lady just went through would still be around a 9 or a 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, Drew, really picture putting your head about 4 feet above the ground.
And your total body
weight
feet, above you.
Your feet on the ceiling and your hands next to your feet, almost on the ceiling, and then just drop yourself on your head. On your head. And by the way, once you drop then, it's not like you just fall over on the carpet. There's a door jam and there's furniture around. Yeah, that was great. That's what happened to me, Drew. I got dropped on my head.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
She's not going to do it, James, so don't be a dick. James sounded like an idiot, didn't he?
Yes. Let's go to break.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm. Jesus. Oh, my shoulder still hurts. Yeah. Neck and shoulder. Could have died, right?
Oh, yeah.
Could have at least Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, absolutely. Easily.
Thank you. We'll be back.
In serious.
Yeah?
Here we are.
All right. Hey, everybody. Anderson, how many times I got to tell you not to turn those mics on?
Really, just let us be, please. Play a little music, and that's that.
We're talking.
Here we are again.
Oh, all right. Now you faked us out. Hey, Loveline, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I know my neck and back, my head hurts now, Tom. And by the way, when telling that story where I fell on my head,
yeah.
I wasn't 11.
Right.
I was 21.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Just want to make that clear to everybody.
Is that to impress us that you could survive the head injury at 21 and the full impact of your body falling upon your head, or to impress us with the notion that a 21-year-old is doing flips in his door jam? Both impressive, mind you.
Yeah. Well, it was a Friday. Mm. It was a weekend. It was slow.
Yeah.
John?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, okay. Like, just maybe last week, I've been noticing, like, a lot of, like, not a lot, but, like, a small patch of red irritation on my, like, my nutsack and a little bit on the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't had sex for about 3 months, and the last 3 people I've had sex with were all virgins.
Okay, so you have you probably have some yeast or fungus or something.
Yeah, that's
pretty good roll you're on there with the virgins.
Only virgins.
I'm a trustable person.
Trustable.
Yeah.
And intelligent.
On the nutsack.
Girls find me warm.
All right.
Because the period when it was, I didn't have much time, like, I would be going to school, come home, go to work, and by the time I get home from work, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. So I didn't really have that much time to shower up and such.
Okay, you got like a jock itch, basically.
I don't know.
All right, well, Drew says jock itch.
Try some of the over-the-counter cream, like Lotrimin, something like that, see if that takes care of it.
Now, what about not wearing underpants and wearing, like, the loose cargo shorts, getting the air going out?
Air is good. There. Cotton underwear is good, too.
Don't wear any underpants.
Dry it out with, like, a hair dryer. The yeast doesn't like... Yeah.
There you go.
That was the hair dryer going. The yeast doesn't like the dry.
No, I'm
likes the wet.
Yeah, don't wear the underpants. Wear the baggy pants and let things blow in the wind. Jeremy.
Yeah, what's up?
You're 26.
Yeah, my question is that my fiance has been taking birth control for probably like the last 7 or 8 years,
mm-hmm.
and she will just out of the blue one night. Being busy during the week, she'll forget, you know, normally she'll take it at 10 o'clock at night before she goes to bed, and all of a sudden she'll take it at 7 o'clock in the morning, completely forgetting that she didn't take it at 10 o'clock the previous night.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a little worried, you know, like when we have sex, because we have unprotected sex, so I'm just wondering, is there a chance of getting pregnant with that 8 hours, you know, of lapse in there?
Right, really unlikely.
Really unlikely?
Yeah, I mean, it is technically designed to be used at the same time every day, you know, absolutely by the clock. But the reality is, sure, there's several hours of leeway.
Oh, okay.
You're okay.
Hey, good times, though, right?
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Drew. Bethany?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter, Pumpkin?
My boyfriend, he's 18.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he just recently turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
We had been together for 11 months, and he went to Sacramento for college. And he wanted to go on break because of it. Because I guess he thought, you know, because he wanted to be free or some stupid something. I don't know.
Right, right.
And I didn't understand because, I mean,
this is why people under the age of 16 should not be in this kind of relationship, because your brain will not process that. The idea of his separateness, the idea of him being an adult, the idea of moving in and out of a relationship, these are things that your emotional brain does not process very well at the age of 16.
I'll be 16 in 2 months.
I know, but you're already into this, way into it, at 14 or 15.
15.
And here we are. This guy's doing what is absolutely normal and reasonable for an 18-year-old, and probably good for you, or undoubtedly good for you, which is that he's going to be in a social environment where he needs to sort of figure out who he is and date and do what's normal for an 18-year-old. To be locked into a relationship from now till God knows when is not normal and not good for you.
Yeah.
The problem is that...
Well, you got, what are you, in the 10th grade?
11th.
The letting go part at your age makes it very difficult and hard to process.
You got two whole years of high school, Eddie, to date whoever's in your high school.
But that's the thing, I don't want them. I don't...
You guys my age are stupid.
Yeah.
Isn't that typical? No, it's because, I mean, we've even talked about getting together in the future still. It's just he said that he wants to see if there's...
You know what? Don't think that way, Bethany. Do not think that way. It just keeps you sort of strung out on this guy.
But...
And really, you need to deal with the loss, get on with your life, take care of yourself. You really do. I mean, if you can't deal with it, I understand, then go ahead and hold on to whatever hope you need to hold on to just to retain your sanity. But that's not healthy for you.
Duh.
It's just because I've been so depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't stop eating, and I keep eating, and that's pretty... I mean, I'm really thin. I'm only 115 pounds. I'm 5'6".
Well, good. You should be eating, then.
I mean, I don't know why. I have high metabolism or something.
Yeah. Don't worry. You're 15.
Yeah.
But you'll be a tub of lard by the time you're 21.
Stuffing all those feelings with food. Is there a way you can spend more time with your friends or do things you enjoy? There are things you can do that nurture you so you can begin to heal.
Because I even used to cut myself. I mean, I know. And I stopped. I mean, I promised him, I promised myself that I wouldn't do it anymore. And I haven't for like 2 months now, and that's like really good for me, because it used to be like every day on the phone.
Drew, what if her and her friends all got together and worked on a giant quilt with his face on it? Would that be therapeutic? That's a good idea.
That's a session.
What would they do with that quilt, though?
Then they would
tour the country with it, or
they would tour it, and it would be like the AIDS quilt. Where's that AIDS quilt?
It's touring the country.
They put that away during the summer and then bust it out again when the barometer starts dropping. Hey, Bethany.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're cute, right?
I guess.
A lot of guys are into you. This is called life. That's
however,
it. It's a rite of passage.
Wait a minute. Yes, it is, but if we...
Huh?
What was that?
My friend is sneezing. I'm over at her house.
But if the...
Some friend time.
Good. That's all good. Good impulse. But if the depressions are so bad that you feel like you can't function or you want to hurt yourself, and if you are indeed a cutter, that really is a sign that you need professional help.
I've tried, but all the therapists are so dumb. Like, we think you might have depression. Really? Duh. Shut up, Crystal. You're interfering with my phone call.
Now you get the different feel now, Adam?
Yeah.
What different feeling? I'm numb all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
What are you talking about?
It's like the guys... No, forget it. So, Bethany, look, they're not stupid. You do have depression. They may be able to help you. Take some help. You don't have to suffer. It's not important to suffer. It's not going to be make things better.
And, you know, as long as you don't get pregnant or kill yourself or get a bad dad, you're fine. And this is life, everybody.
Yeah, but she's had a little more going on. Like, a lot of cutting and stuff. So it's not good.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Chad?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was dating a girl for about a year and a half, and she's got three kids. And I broke up there kind of bluntly. I tossed her out of my house. And since then...
What was she doing in your house?
Well, she was living with me.
How long had you dated before you ended up living with her?
Only about 2 months.
Why'd you toss her out?
Because I was pretty much tired of her not working.
She's got three kids.
Isn't that enough?
And I was paying for them, too.
Yeah, but three kids is a lot of work.
Well, yeah, but I guess I wanted her to be a little more independent. when I met her, she told me she always worked and she always had a job. She was just in a bad spot.
Yeah, but then she had the three kids. I mean, I'm sure she's a piece of work, but
That's what she has.
It's true, but she's got the three kids. What's she supposed to do all day?
Well, the kids are old enough to, I mean, they would stay home by themselves whenever we went out, so.
Really? How old are the kids?
The oldest is 15.
Who?
She was 33. They weren't my kids.
Right.
She was 33.
It's not very old. They still need parents around a lot.
Right.
All right. Yeah, but 15.
And I'm still, like, supporting her. I'm still paying her bills and stuff, and I kind of feel guilty if I don't because she can't do it.
All right. Well, where's she living?
She's living in some trailer right now.
Oh, boy.
And what bills are you paying?
I paid her rent for the last 2 months. I paid her electric bill.
Is she doing drugs or drinking?
No.
How much is this totaling out to be a month?
$600-700.
All right. Well, you got to tell her that this is not going to go on. Set a limit. Tell her you're going to, you know, you'll do it for
six weeks, eight weeks,
whatever, and then make a firm date and cut it on that date. That's the time she has to get it together.
You've sort of fulfilled your civic duty, right? You don't have any obligation to take care of her. In fact, you may be enabling her.
She's not going to argue with it either until you actually cut it off, but then you'll have a date. Tell her to circle it on the calendar.
And just tell her to get on her feet by then, or
that's it. Or get some public support or something. Figure it out.
All right, Chad. Okay. Well, what do you think? 6 weeks?
Give her 8 weeks.
8 weeks?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for young Chad. What do you do for a living?
I work for the Port Authority.
Mm-hmm. That's a decent gig, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
What do you do there?
Just maintenance.
All right. You a union gig?
Yeah.
All right. You're doing all right.
Yeah.
Give her 2 months.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Hey, good times, all right?
Right.
Yeah. Listen, guys, don't get hooked up with the older chick with the three kids unless you're in for good.
Yeah, and you can afford it.
It's not a hobby. You can't just sort of hang out with that chick. You're in or you're out. That's
Although there is that version that also just wants a non-relationship young guy.
Yeah, but it's funny. They're financially okay.
Those women,
they had a bad marriage that went on, a loveless marriage that went on for too long, and they're getting alimony.
Mm-hmm.
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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw the, I don't know why, but I was thinking, it just made me think of this. I was watching, 2020 last week, because every Friday night, that's what I do. Sit home, get drunk, and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching the woman did an interview. Barbara Walters did an interview with the woman who married Lyle Menendez.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was Lyle.
Right.
What's the other one? Ron?
I just remember that one of the Menendez wives was going to be interviewed.
Yeah. Both of them got married in the joint.
Yeah.
It's funny. They got a little picture, a little mural of like Hawaii that they stand in front of. And they get to wear civvy clothes, you know.
For the ceremony.
Yeah. They get to take a little picture. It's fantastic. And, what are the two Menendez boys? Lyle and Ron?
Lyle. Lyle and Eric.
Eric. That's right. That's right. They're both married. I think one of them got divorced. By the way, that's tough when you're in prison. You get married in the joint and divorced in the joint. It's like, what happened? And we weren't spending enough time together. The sex had dried up. I was in the joint. I was being raped. Jesus Christ. But anyway, you can get married when you're in the joint. And he did. And they were, like, interviewing her. And she seemed relatively sane. But she was one of these women, by the way, who had just been in a crappy relationship for 10 years and now Not gonna put her heart out on her sleeve anymore. She's a married guy in the joint. Not gonna get cheated on. Not gonna get dumped. Not gonna get broken up with.
Yeah, it's gonna guy gonna be contained.
And he's gonna write 750 love letters a day.
And you know he's an asshole. He's an asshole who can't act out his assholishness. She gets both. She gets the best of both worlds.
I like the Menendez brothers. I don't think they're assholes.
No, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
She needs to be with a bad guy.
I'd let these guys out tomorrow if it was up to me.
Oh, I understand that the parents deserved what the Menendez brothers delivered, as far as you're concerned.
Of course they deserved it. But they had to have.
But think who these guys are in the real world, having been so roundly abused like that.
All right, but now they've been in the joint for like 13 years.
Oh, yeah, that'll season them nicely.
Well, listen, their guys have done worse things or who are worse people. They gotten out earlier than they did. I'm saying let out the Menendez brothers. I got no problem with them.
Sounds like you want to marry him, maybe.
I like that. Well, Ron. One of them's cute. Yeah, they're both kind of hunky. And you know what? Prison is pretty good as far as aging goes. Because when you're on the outside, I mean, think about how you age as a male.
Oh.
Like, these guys went in when they were like 19 or 20, right? They've been in for like 13 years. I've seen my friends fall apart like a bad American car in that time period. Think about all the booze, all the weed, all the bad relationships.
The stress and lack of working out.
How about just the sun?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're eating fast food.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting beaten down by the sun. You're doing a bunch of drugs and booze. You're stressed out from work. You're in the joint. These guys in the joint, they look perfect. They never see any sunlight.
Work out all the time.
They just do push-ups and sit in the dark. They're like mushrooms. These kids look great. Dry anal rape.
Mushrooms.
They really do. They look hot. I'd like to get my hands on one of them Menendez. And you know what? I'd tell them that I don't care. Nature or nurture. You kill your parents, they had it coming. Whatever it is, that's fine. Someone did a bad job of rearing you, and it had to be the people you killed, right?
But the fact that they had lived through that horror and that they are the kind of people that can do that to their parents, do you really want them running around out there? Not forget the fact that you want them punished. You don't want them punished. I understand that, but do you want them running around?
Well, they were never violent with anybody else. Not like they were acting out at school and beating the crap out of all the other kids.
Do we know that?
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't have a history of violence.
Okay.
All right. All right. Take a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. This is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
A lot of sort of standard Loveline calls tonight. It's nice. It's a classic Loveline calls. Would you say?
Yeah.
Erectile problems, painful erections, little...
Yeah, we don't have to work that hard.
Birth control pill questions. Yeah, that's nice.
Do the show in our sleep. Yo. All right.
Good Charlotte in here on Sunday. Henry Rollins next week.
Always a delight to see Henry. Josh?
Yep.
17?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. This really sucks for me, but I'm a virgin, and the thing is girls are willing to go all the way with me, and I'm willing to, but right when I get to the point, the past two times... It's been like, hey, I'm working up to it. I'm about to lose my virginity, and it goes away and does not come back.
The erection.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. Adam and I need to confer. Is he a virgin?
Doesn't sound like
it. No. So, are you ever wrong about that?
Well, I'm never wrong about the guys who I think aren't virgins. But I don't know about the guys.
I think he's making this call up. It's a viable call.
Yeah.
But I think he's a non-virgin making up a call.
Josh.
Yeah.
We're not getting virgin in your voice.
Yeah, here's something really weird that I can tell you. Ever since about my freshman year in high school, I've been telling people that I wasn't. And I think I kind of convinced myself at one point that I wasn't, but I really am. I think there's like three people that actually know that I'm actually a virgin.
Maybe convince his vocal cords, too.
So you've done everything else and been at the point of penetration but never been able to succeed because you lose your erection.
Exactly.
Have you gotten a fair amount of BJs in your day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Does he give?
I get a guy. Hold on there, Anderson. I get the voice of a man whose penis has been in the mouth of a vagina. See, you understand?
Mouth of a vagina.
Of a vagina.
at the threshold.
No. I don't know that I can make a distinction between the guys who are virgins. I know the guys who are inexperienced.
Okay.
If he's getting a lot of BJs, that's going to make him sound experienced.
Well, we'd say five BJs equals one vaginal penetration. What is the exchange, the BJ exchange?
5-1.
5-1, that's what I thought.
Whatever the euro is to the pound. Yeah. So, no, what I mean is, Drew, though, is I hear and you hear
squirrely.
experience in Josh's voice, and he's been with many women and has much experience, and that's why we're here, even though technically a virgin.
All right, Josh, are you on any medication?
I take Adderall.
All right, well, that can screw with your erectile function.
That's so fast.
Yeah. So, you know, do you put a condom on before you penetrate?
Yeah, like, the first time I actually got the condom on, and then
Adam, I swear to God, this invention is crying our name.
Mm. The condom loader?
Yes. Something just hang on the wall and just walk up and push against and boom, boom.
Yeah, just a hole in the wall, depression in the wall. Mm-hmm. Josh?
Yeah.
Here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Why were you laughing?
Because y'all are funny. I love y'all. I listen to y'all like every night. You're like one of my heroes.
That's a good answer, brother. That's a damn fine answer. Anderson's shaking his head. Thank you, buddy. Look, here's what you got to do. Go down to the gay bar, reach into the bottomless fishbowl of condoms they always put at the end of the bar, bring them home, and practice getting an erection, then putting the condom on, and then beating yourself into orgasm while the condom is on. When you can master that, then you can be with a woman.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You will have a trained penis at that point.
Hey, real quick, as far as the voice goes, I was going to ask maybe if he gives a lot of oral, because maybe the juices from the girl actually changes the vocal cords.
No. Mm-mm. It's a chi that flows from the penis.
But it's an interesting retarded hypothesis that Anderson has come up with.
That's a joke.
Really? How dare he?
Listen, I just enjoy not laughing at Anderson's jokes for a change. Lauren?
Hi.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Adam, I have a comment for you. Like, on last night's show, you guys were talking about mullets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In my town, there are, like, so many people with mullets, and...
Where's your town?
Gig Harbor, Washington.
Uh-huh.
Gig Harbor?
Yeah. It's, like, an hour away from Seattle.
God, that sounds picturesque, doesn't it, Drew?
Yeah, it does.
Don't you like the hail from Gig Harbor?
Wow.
Yeah. It must be nice. Except for the mullets.
Yeah. Like, the part of Gig Harbor I live in is, like, the hick part.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my school, there's, like, probably 3 or 4 guys who have mullets, and I just really don't understand it. Like,
you should confront them like I confronted that guy on the airplane today to ask if he was a sobriety guy or not.
Mm.
I mean, ask if they're high.
Oh, I see.
For having the mullet. Yeah, you don't like the mullet, do you, Lauren?
Oh, well... I don't know. I just think it's funny.
Well, this is, thank you for calling. And this is the point I was trying to bring up last night, and it was semi-successfully, but I was speaking of it when I see the women at the airport with the huge hair, the bad mullet, or the perm mullet, or whatever that is. Who on TV wears their hair this way?
I mean, where did they get the idea to do this?
Yes, and I will now pose this question to men. When you turn on entertainment tonight and you see the guy who's hosting the show, or when you turn on a sitcom, or when you turn on a daytime drama, who do you see sporting a mullet? Do you know what I'm saying? Does George Clooney have a mullet? Have you ever seen a mullet in a movie that wasn't making fun of the character who was sporting the mullet? Why wear the hair that everyone makes fun of, and where have you seen it? And isn't this all we do as human beings? Your job is to look around, see what other people are doing,
imitate,
and try to do it.
Imitate.
That's it.
Mimic.
Join the crowd.
Mimetic passions.
Do not, this is going to be the name of my band,
mm-hmm.
Do not try to set yourself apart via your hair. Quiet, Drew. Freddie?
Yeah?
You're 18?
Yeah, I am.
You're dating your best friend's sister?
Yeah, well, now he's no longer my friend. He kicked me out.
Out of where?
Out of his little group of friends we always hang out with.
How old is his sister?
His sister's 18.
All right. Tough.
Yeah, it's tough. She's a
beautiful. Who do you like more, him or her?
Her.
Okay. There you go.
That's
no,
it.
No, but I mean, the thing is, like, we had a cool relationship. You know, we're all in his sister.
I know.
He'll be okay. Yeah, he'll be all right.
He'll get used to it.
You think so? But it's been, like, what, 6 months already? He's been trying to kick my ass ever since.
Mm.
Look, here's what you got to do. You got to avoid the guy.
He's sort of not his friend in the first place to be that much of an ass.
Yeah, 6 months. If he's really trying to beat you up after 6 months, he's not a great friend. But just lay low. I'll tell you.
The sister ought to have a little bit of
She ought to calm him down a little bit, too. But people have a way of acclimating. This is the bad boyfriend, bad girlfriend syndrome. Family hates you, doesn't want you around. You're not welcome during Christmas or Easter.
Lay low.
Lay low. Time passes, and eventually you just become part of the wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
They ignore you like they ignore everyone else in the family. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Line. I'm Adam. There's Drew over there. Thursday, yes? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Let's, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And it's back to the phones we go. Speak to Adam, who's 21. He's in the Marines. He's going to war. Adam?
I'm here.
You're out at 29 Palms?
That's right.
Good time. Motivate.
I didn't say I'm going. There's just a good chance I might be.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to do for the city of 29 Palms?
Change the name.
I'm going to plant one more palm tree so you guys can finally get over the hump and make it to 30 Palms.
Thanks a lot.
That's just outside of Palm Springs?
About an hour north.
About an hour north. And that's where you guys do your desert training?
Right.
That's our little Afghanistan over there, Drew.
Uh-huh.
That's our little Iraq.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you don't know anything, but it looks like maybe you're heading overseas?
Yeah, maybe.
When do you find out?
We won't find out till right before.
When you say right before, do they mean a couple days?
Right.
What are you guys working on now?
Training.
Just run around the desert?
Right.
Good times.
What kind of equipment do you work on?
Infantry.
So you're just running and shooting and shooting and running?
Pretty much.
So you're just a grunt, huh?
Yeah.
And any specialize in anything other than
shooting?
Shooting?
No, not really. Just shooting.
What are you guys using, that M16?
Yeah.
Seems like we've been using that one for a while. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to go over to 29 Palms. I'm going to plant that palm tree. I'm going to get to 30 Palms. Then I'm going to add one number to the M16.
Get the M17 going.
Start turning to the M17. All right. You got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you want to tell her you love her?
Maybe. You think it'd be a good idea?
How long have you been with her?
Yes.
How long have you been with her?
About 4 months.
Right. I don't think it's a good idea because I think it greatly increases the chance of you being shot when you're overseas. Yeah. You tell her you love her, you ship. Then that means you ship out the next day, and that means a friendly fire 2 days after you land.
No, not all right.
Yeah. Now, you don't have to worry about the enemy. That's the beauty of this country. We're such colossal ass kickers in this country. We only really worry about shooting ourselves. We go overseas and kill more of our own boys than those guys ever even dreamt of killing. So worry about friendly fire, number one. If I were you, I would lose the camouflage garb they give you and make my own jumpsuit out of American flag. That's number one. Actually, I'd use the gay flag on the front.
The rainbow flag.
Rainbow flag on front. It's very, very colorful, and it's slimming. Because you do it vertically, Drew.
Okay, got it.
And I would do the American flag on the back, and I would paint my helmet Caltrans orange. Because really, I really would do this. Wouldn't you do this if you had to go to war? You know, there's a much greater chance of you getting shot by your own men. I would much rather identify myself to my own troops than blend in with the desert. Blending in from the desert just means someone got their coordinates off a little. And a Comanche helicopter puts a couple of rounds into you.
Well, listen, Adam.
Adam doesn't sound amused or impressed by any of my music.
He's a very colorful fellow already.
That's what I like.
Adam, do you love her?
I think I do.
Do you want to stay in this relationship even while you're away? I mean, come back to this? I don't know. Why not?
Yeah,
I
tell you love her.
Yeah, if that's the way you feel and you want to try to sustain this thing, you don't know how long you're going to be there, you want her to be waiting for something, at least she has to know how you feel. Like, I think it's fine.
Yeah. And you get to go to beautiful Iran.
Iraq.
Oh, it's all the same place to me. How are we doing with Iran, by the way? We're not in great shape with them either, are we?
Mm-hmm.
swing by Iran and do a little ass kicking too. And by the way, I really do love the part where who are we going after over there? Castro? Idi Amin?
Hussein.
I love it when Saddam, you know, they do those speeches where they go, of course, we do not want war. We do not want bloodshed. But if you want to start a war with this country and open the gates to hell, then you should feel the wrath of our mighty sword. And say, really? It'd be fun watching that tape after the war when we do the tally. See, you guys had 500,000 guys give up. We killed 500,000 guys. Then we killed 26 of our own guys when a Jeep mistakenly backed over one of the landmines we'd placed. There you go. That's pretty much it. That's opening up the gates to hell. So be it. I wish the Germans and the Japs would have opened up the gates to hell. We probably would have saved a hell of a lot of guys. Instead, they just fought to the death. What's up there, Drew?
I was just thinking, did you see one of the headlines, I think it was yesterday, where one of the foreign ministers of Iraq suggested that Saddam Hussein and President Bush have a duel?
Mm.
And that'd be the answer to this problem?
That'd be my suggestion, too, if I was going to get my ass kicked. Yeah, and do it the manly way. Sure, why not? We got an overwhelming majority of men and firepower. And plus, those guys are such pussies over there. They end up just giving up immediately. Just give up. I mean, look, the Japanese were outmanned on all those Philippine islands and stuff. They wore a diaper and fought in a diaper. Jumping off of cliffs, making themselves into human booby traps, you know, strapping grenades to themselves and just doing the bonsai charges at night, kamikazes. The guys in the countries we're fighting now, they're pussies. They just give up. Come on. What happened to you guys? You don't want to see Allah? Come on. We'll show you the way. We got a nice big Allah train. It's leaving the station. Come on, get on board. That's right. Last stop, 72 virgins. Come on, fellas. Climb on. Plenty of room. Christina?
Hello.
You're 30?
Hi, yeah.
What's up?
My question's for Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm.
My boyfriend and I have been together, it'll be like 9 months on the 18th, and he's kind of large and down, and after we have sex, I get dry heaves, and I want to know, he read something, and he said it's because he hits, like, up in you, and it kind of makes you, like, as if you were seasick, but I want to know if there's something wrong with me, or if that's normal, or what causes the dry heaves after we have sex.
Sometimes if there's an infection, like, or a cyst that can trigger that kind of thing, it's sort of a visceral reaction to the viscera being stirred. How big a guy is he?
Say like 12 inches. He's pretty large.
Yeah. Drew.
Yeah.
How much would you bet that it was under 10?
Do you think?
Yeah.
I've never really gotten like out and measured it, but it's...
Women have zero ability to estimate size.
How would
12?
Even at 10, whatever size it is,
it could be 10. This is why they can't parallel park.
What is from like your wrist to your elbow?
An average guy?
Yeah. Oh. Wrist to elbow.
I don't know.
About 12 inches?
Yeah. Maybe a little more in my case, but about 12 inches.
Okay, from a wrist to the elbow distance, Krista, is that how big he is?
From the wrist to the elbow?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess not that long, no.
Okay.
And that's on Krista, which is probably
10
a little
inches.
Shorter notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's under 10 inches now.
But it's big.
Like I said, yeah, he's just... Yeah, he's large, but that's not even the issue. I just want to know if that's what's causing the, because it hits up in my body somewhere, if that's what's causing the dry heaves.
Well, if his size is the reason that's happening, it is an issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, she wants to know if that's why it's happening.
Well, it's not that simple. Yes, that your viscera can be sort of affected by something pushing up against them, yes. And or it can be a sign that there's an infection or a cyst that's ruptured there also. Whether or not it's just merely his size or really just that's your sensitivity, I can't tell. But when was the last time you had a pelvic exam?
I'm regular. My last one came out fine.
When was that?
I'm probably about due. It's been about 6 months.
All right. Well, why don't you get that checked out? Because it's not a normal reaction, regardless of his size.
Now, just get in a position where depth is controlled by you.
Yeah, I thought about that, too. In fact, we just talked about that. We tried to call you last night when he was here, but we couldn't get through.
Where's he now, having a statue made in his honor? No? He's talking to kids about penis size?
No.
Lecture circuit? Where is he?
He's at home. He's asleep.
Okay.
Scared straight.
All right there, buddy gal.
All right.
You're fine. Just don't let him get too deep.
Yeah, he's nice. I mean, I didn't mean or anything, but...
No. I trust you. He sounds like a decent guy. Well, I'd like to kill him. All right, let's talk to...
Troy.
Yeah. Troy?
Hey there.
20 years of age. What's up?
Yeah, very long time listener, first time caller.
Great.
Well, the thing is I met a girl online, and I've been out of work, and so I was just messing around and started talking to this girl, and she we got to talking and got to talking on the phone and stuff, and tonight we actually met.
Uh-huh.
And she had actually sent me a picture of her, and she was, you know, the perfect, like, size too, you know, perfect girl. And so I was a little skeptical of that, and then she finally told me about a week later that she wasn't that skinny.
Was it that she'd gained some weight since that picture?
Well, it wasn't her at all. And she has a 1.5-year-old, and that was
she
fine.
Just sent you a picture of just some random person?
Well, she says she knows the person.
Oh, my God.
Troy got suspicious when he saw the cigarette ad on the back page.
Yeah, understandable.
The picture that was sent.
Yeah, it was in one of my Playboys, yeah. So I went over there tonight and just to surprise her, and it sounds really bad, but she was huge.
Huge. Speaking of visceral reactions, I love when guys talk about women being fat, they get very dramatic, yes.
Yeah, I know. It sounds terrible. I mean, I smoke like 4 cigarettes on the way home.
Sure. You had to cope.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, but she's, you know, I mean, me and her, you know, I mean, on the phone, we worked out perfectly. I mean, we were just, I mean.
I know. Hold on. This is a reason not to internet date for guys, because now you got to talk about the ass size. Because here's the deal. If you, and Drew, you're in this position once upon a time, so was I. You go out on a date, maybe a blind date, set up, whatever, you meet a chick. You go out, and while you're on the date, you're looking at her. And this goes for women, too. And you're going, "Ooh, I'm not attracted to this person at all for whatever reason. But maybe they're huge and maybe you're not into them." At that point, you can get out. And you don't talk about their wide ass as the reason you got out. You say, "You know, I just didn't feel the chemistry. We weren't clicking. Yeah. You're Gemini. I'm Sagittarius."
Plus, in the meantime, you haven't logged 100 man hours of conversation.
Right.
You don't have a relationship.
Now you're looking at a picture of a hot chick who's not her. You're talking about, now, as a guy, it's BS the other way, right?
Right.
"Oh, man, we're kindred spirits. We think alike. We're both into animal rights." You know, he's probably getting on board with crap that he's not even interested in,
right,
and talking about how they're soulmates. And now what?
Well, I don't know what to do. And
That's right.
Sound like an ass. I mean, you know, I'm not that kind of guy where I just don't like a person because how they look. But
yeah,
let's put it this way: you didn't think you were that kind of guy.
Yeah.
You are that kind of guy.
I know, and that's sad.
But that's you.
All right, nothing you can do. Don't string her along.
Just kind of wrap it up, and that's that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I mean, when do you talk to her next?
Yeah. All right.
When?
Thanks.
When?
Oh, it'll probably be tomorrow night.
You're going to see her? Or?
No, I'm going to talk to her.
Nightly conversations are happening.
Like, just call me.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Here's the deal with this kind of stuff. You just start weaning people off of your wiener. They call. And the first time they call, you call them back, but you call them back like a day later.
Yeah.
You know, remember that move?
Oh, yeah.
Remember when people were doing that to you?
Yeah, delay.
You delay.
Yeah.
And it starts to give people that idea, and then you make a little excuse about why you can't get together, and the next time you call them back, it's like 3 days later.
Yeah. But, you know, our callers, that heats them up.
True.
It surprised me, or at least interested me, how different men and women are in perceptions of these things. And coincidentally, I'm helping out with a survey that's going to run in USA Weekend on September 29th. Is that right? I guess it's already part of it already ran October 6th and October 13th, where people can sort of fill out this question. We're going to figure out, measure some of the differences between male female perceptions of one another.
Yeah. Oh, that's you're saving the world.
Yeah.
It's great. What are they paying you for that?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why you don't got any money, Drew.
I don't ask for money for stuff.
You gotta ask for money.
Yeah. Did this show for 10 years for free. I know how stupid that was.
Then you ran into me.
Yeah.
Now you're
the cash register.
Now you're making the big bucks. That's right. And do I ever get a kickback? No. Not from Drew. Rachel?
Yeah?
You're 22?
Yep.
What's up?
George Clooney had a mullet in Attack of the Killer Tomatoes 2.
Right, but what year was that?
I don't know, like in the 80s or 90s.
Yeah, he also had and a sort of...
funny.
He had abbreviated mullet when he was in The Facts of Life in the later years.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, no. So that's probably what the people are watching. They're just watching old reruns and going, dang, George Clooney's hot. Yeah, he's cool. He was on the newsstand today. Oh, look, he had a mullet.
Right, right. But then, here's what I'm saying. When I was in high school, I wasn't watching movies from the 50s. I wasn't watching, like, Troy Donahue and James Dean movies and saying, I got to put a handful of pomade in my hair, slick it back, and get myself a 55 Chevy, walk around with a raccoon coat on.
Right, you knew the difference between then and now.
Yeah, maybe that's the problem with the mullet.
Come on.
That's the problem with the mullet people. Yeah, there's always... That's true, Drew. There's always a time problem.
Yeah.
The music.
Yeah.
The fashions, the cars, everything. It's all 15 years ago.
Well, I wouldn't mind it if they just did it to themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they were just stuck, as many people are, in their music from high school or whatever. They do it to their kids.
It's horrible.
Kids wear the mullets.
I saw a two-year-old with a bad mullet. Oh, my God. It wasn't even bad.
I know one of the reasons I know I'm going to be a horrible parent is whenever I see my nephew and his hair's all curly and out of control, I always just say to my sister, why don't you just get one of those clippers, just buzz his head. She's like, that would look horrible. And I'm like, who cares? He's four. No, I can't do that to him. Sure you can. Just buzz his head about once every 4 to 6 months. He doesn't get any lice or anything in there. It's all good.
Your sister's going to have a third child. Another boy.
I know. That's why I got to keep working.
Didn't tell me that.
Didn't tell you that?
No.
Figured you'd find out sooner or later.
God.
Yeah, she's going to have a bunch of boys.
But great-looking kids.
Yeah.
I saw a dad marching after him.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't meet him, but I could identify him by how you've described him.
Christoph? Brother-in-law?
Uh-huh.
Skinny guy?
German.
Did he look German?
Oh, yeah.
You can always tell the Germans because they wear weird frames on their glasses.
Yes.
And weird sandals. What's up with that? That's a weird culture, those Germans, you know? You know, if you live in Germany and you live in an apartment building and you have, like, a wind chime on your balcony or a hummingbird feeder, someone will report you. It's real uptight that way. But then they wear these crazy, crazy frames on their glasses and crazy sandals. It's like some kind of compensation.
Remember when Mike Myers used to do that skit on Saturday Night Live, Dieter?
Yeah. My brother-in-law is like Dieter.
Oh, yes.
Rachel?
Yeah?
Anyway, what's up? Mullet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, good times.
Bye.
All right. But listen, I can't talk about my sister, my brother-in-law, or their kids, or anything on the air anymore because their jack-off friends get to them, and they always spin it. Adam said that your kid's father was Hitler. And that you called his sister Eva Braun.
Your sister seems great, by the way. I'm dying to sit down and talk to her about her perceptions of your childhood.
No.
Oh, yeah. I know you want to make sure that doesn't happen.
That's
right.
But
I think it'd be very interesting.
Idiots.
Wouldn't that be interesting?
I'm just thinking about those pussies that got to go tell people stuff. I heard your brother talking on the radio.
It's like people talking about bachelor parties.
You pussies. Just kill yourselves, you pussies. John? Now it's going to... Adam called you a pussy on the radio. Idiots. God, do I hate those people.
John?
Hello?
Hey.
But I did tell you it was funny. When my sister started talking about me saying that her kids like were Hitler Youth and stuff like that, I said, you didn't hear that on the radio. And she's like, yes, I did. And I said, listen, nobody in this family listens to this radio show, so I know you did not hear this on the radio. Somebody told you, but I know you didn't hear it. She's like, okay, but it was a very reliable source. See, once you know people, you know them, right?
People do not disappoint.
They never disappoint. I talked to my dad the other night about 7:30 on a Friday night. He said, where are you heading, son? You heading into work? No. Oh, don't you got to do the radio? Dad, don't do the radio show on Friday nights and never at 7:30. John?
Hey, Phil.
15?
Yeah.
What's
hey,
up?
You're awesome, man.
Good times.
Yeah. I was just wondering, you just got married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you made that promise to bang all them chicks, their virginity?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does she care about that?
Of course not.
No, but I'll tell you why. Because I explained to her that my work is important to me and that it must continue.
Well, especially something you've committed to before the marriage. She can't expect you to abort that.
Right. Yeah. We carved that out of the prenup, by the way.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told you. I've already yelled at your wife about the phone message you have at your mutual house now.
Yeah.
I want a kind, nice Lynette voice answering your goddamn phone. I don't want, hey, this is Adam. Leave a message.
I'm going to have to do something about that because I got home from Vegas tonight and had 9 messages. And the fifth, no, just one, but that was too much. The fifth one's like, hi, Lynette, this is Wendy. And I'm like, I can't do this. I can't write this down.
What you're saying is...
I got to do something.
Yeah, well, to do something is, rather than change the message, rather than set up a phone system, you're going to get 2 lines.
You got to get 2 lines. Is that what I got to do?
No, that's what you're going to do. That's not what you should do. You should.
No, you can't. You don't want to come home every day and listen to, like, 5 of your message and 5 of someone else's message and then write stuff down and then people get mad. You didn't say. No, she said. No, you told me. That's ridiculous. If you have enough money, you get a second line, right?
You have to do what every man
does. Even Anne is shaking her head.
You have to relinquish your phone to her.
No way. That's my number. That's my number. It's my number. She got to get a number.
Hi, this is Adam. Please leave a message.
You know how long it took me to come up with that?
I bet it was really quite a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Creative genius, I tell you.
Yeah. True, you don't have the same... Lying is your wife, do you?
She takes care of the home phone. That's good.
But you don't have any male friends. You don't have anyone who would call you who didn't have to go through her first, do you? Who would call you?
People,
no friends, no guys. She doesn't allow that. No, yeah. That's forbidden.
Verboten.
That's verboten. All right, let's take a little break. We'll come back with more of your questions after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Back to the phones we go. Something sound a little weird, Drew. I think I need to kick something. All right. Straighten out.
Yep.
Ready to go?
Yep.
Emily?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah. Oh, I have a solution for your problem with the phone messages.
Yeah.
Get the message machine that you can have where they push 1.
Yeah, for Adam, 1 for the Nat, 2 for
yeah.
Me. Yeah, you go.
You know how listeners.
No.
Yeah.
No, because then I'm going to be on the phone and someone's going to be clicking over.
Okay, true.
Yeah.
Because I know how those girls are.
Do the separate line thing.
Yeah.
How are the other sort of coming together and sharing of the household stuff working out? Is that going down okay?
Hold on. I'm flicking my thing around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got locked out of the bedroom the other night.
How come?
I trained her to lock the door. But don't lock it, you know, until I get in it.
Huh. Good times.
Had a knock on the bedroom door. Heard a little scrambling, window open and closed.
I was going to say, certain she wasn't trying to tell you something?
And I heard what I thought was a big block Chevy fire up down the street and take off. I'm sure it wasn't connected.
No,
it couldn't have been connected. She didn't seem a little flustered. Other than that, I just said, look, I come home from work at 12:30 at night. I like to yap on the phone and watch TiVo.
That's all downstairs, though.
Yeah, but... You know, she can hear me.
Huh.
My voice carries. I told her that's life. You gotta put that little sound machine on. Get that going. Sounds of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
That'll block it out.
Maybe she needs to. That sort of needs to be a paradigm for how she needs to go through life from now on.
Sounds of the ocean.
Yeah. We should have a headset with that set to that.
Yeah, and then you know she gets up at like 7:30 in the morning, fires up the hair dryer and stuff. I said, do that. You gotta do that down the hall. Like it's gotta be quiet. That's it. It's all about sleep. Sleep and avoidance.
Sleep and phones. There you go.
Emily?
Yep.
All right. So what's up?
Oh, has the sex stopped?
No.
Oh.
No, not yet.
A couple weeks.
I hope not.
It's going to stop. Planning on I'm shooting for Monday.
Okay.
Emily?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're the one who's cut it back. Okay.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Good time.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I can't have an orgasm.
Okay. You never had one?
No.
I beg your pardon.
Not through oral sex?
No, that's like the closest I've ever come.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have the same boyfriend the whole time?
No.
Different guys?
Yeah.
You never given yourself one?
No, like, I'll get close. Okay, this is going to sound kind of dumb, but...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like with vibrators, I can get really, really close, mm-hmm. but then it gets too intense that I can't...
Yeah. We hear that.
This is that thing that women get that men cannot comprehend.
What about the tub?
My friend said something about a detachable, like, shower head.
Yeah.
But I don't have one.
How about just getting... Do you have a bathtub?
Yeah.
Adam, describe.
Well, I pictured Ann doing this many, many a lonely night. I think you get the water running to a comfortable temperature.
And volume.
And prop.
In volume, and then slide your butt under so it would be right about where the drain is, yes? And then
put your feet up.
Put your feet up and get your legs akimbo, as they say.
So you have the water, the spigot running directly on the target. You see?
Okay.
You want to try that one?
I have.
You have?
Yeah. Trust me, I've tried it all. I don't think anyone wants me to have one more than myself.
Well, what didn't we ask about the tub 10 minutes ago, and you said your friends have a detachable head, but you don't?
Our detacher part, I haven't tried that, but...
Well, but same theory. So it doesn't work the old school way either. Okay.
Are you on any medication?
I'm not.
Yeah, you're 20. You got a steady boyfriend?
Oh, I have off and on. Like, I dated this one guy out in New York, and he told me, he's like, well, you're just not old enough to have one.
Yeah.
Well, he's sort of right. There actually is a biology operating here that most women under 20 do not have them. Many don't, and most don't have them during intercourse ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just maybe coming into this slowly.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. I mean, you've tried everything, then just get a guy you like and relax. Sarah?
Yes?
20?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
I have a question about deja vu.
All right.
Okay, I have been experiencing really intense deja vu for the past 5 years at least.
Uh-huh.
And deja vu would come on, and I'll feel adrenaline rush just for at least 30 seconds to 45 seconds. And I know I'm in deja vu because, you know, I've been there before. I know what people are going to say, the movements I'm going to do, you know.
Well, the feeling is that you've been there before. If somebody actually asked you, predict what's about to happen, you couldn't do it.
Right, yeah.
And these are biological events, very closely related and sometimes actually seizures.
Oh.
Temporal, partial complex seizure type phenomenon.
Okay.
So, did you do a bunch of drugs at one time?
I've done acid and shrooms. Uncountable times on acid and...
What's that?
I don't know how many times I've acid.
Give me an approximate number.
I asked my friends how many they have done, and they lost count at about 50 or 60.
All right, so this is what that is. This is for sure what that is.
And then I also am thinking that my mom, when I was about 15, I'm 20 now, she went to surgery, and... they found in her head, on her lower left side of her brain, was like falling off. It was just hanging there.
No, you've got the information wrong. Know this. You've taken enough acid to cause what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Period. You don't need any other explanations.
Like flashbacks?
It's an injury.
It happened from, like, if I'm driving my car, I hit a bump in the road, and it'll just click off.
It's an injury to your brain.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and it may be a seizure phenomenon. Well, you ought to see a neurologist.
Maybe she's got got that thing where she hits the bump and the loose part of her brain is jostled.
Her brain just flopping around.
And it just registers at that point. No, there's no such thing as that. That's not how your brain works.
Yeah.
All right.
See a neurologist.
See a neurologist.
Thank you.
And you probably have some mood problems too, right? You're pretty depressed?
Yeah.
Well, that's also from the acids. You may want to see a psychiatrist that has experience in treating people with the brain damage from LSD.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Hey, good times, though, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, man. Well, listen, everybody. You can't abuse stuff. What are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, that's why you make the big bucks, you know? But look, you can't do a dump truck full of acid between the age of 16 and 20 without expecting to have some long-term effects. You just can't do it.
Unfortunately, people that do this kind of stuff end up, like, not able to work. Really chronically impaired.
Yeah. Listen, I want to talk to Derek. He's been on hold for, He's been on hold for like an hour, and I feel bad. Derek?
Yeah?
What's up?
My dad, he's going to jail, and it's being really hard on my little sister, and I just want to know if it's going to have some cause on her in the long run.
Yeah. How long is he going to jail for?
A couple of years, like 2 to 3 years.
What did he do?
He was accused of molesting my cousin.
Accused of? Wouldn't that be convicted of?
Oh, yeah, he was, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the whole deal was. The thing that he pleaded guilty was burglary one, because he knocked on the door and nobody welcomed him in, so he went in and they got him on that.
Right.
But no one was really sure on the whole deal of the molestation.
Most people that are doing time for burglary, that's what happens. They knock on the door swings open, they walk in and say hello. Next thing you know, the man comes flying down, slaps the cuffs on him.
That's every burglar, isn't it?
Well, yeah. About 90%.
90%,
all right. And Derek?
Yeah.
So he's in jail for burglary one because he came into the house and wasn't invited by his family members?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not right. I don't mean that's not right, like you shouldn't do that to a man.
That's not what happened.
That's BS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you believe it. Do you believe that, or you just want us to believe?
Burglary one, but there was still the whole other molestation that went on later.
Listen, Derek, your dad has done a lot of bad stuff, and he's been convicted. It's so bad that he's making deal bargains.
Yeah, this isn't the first time. It happened a long time ago, but, like, it didn't, there nothing ever came out of it. It was just kind of like...
Stop defending, Derek. Get in reality.
Huh?
Get in reality.
What do you mean? Oh, no, I totally kind of think that my dad totally did it, but...
Well, your dad's a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's start with that.
That's fine. A lot of guys have bad dads.
Right, but you can't get on in your life if you don't address reality, if you're trying to whitewash reality and present it to different people or to yourself.
I'm just trying to look at all perspectives of it. I'm more towards lenient of the, he did it.
Well, but the perspective is, here's the reality. Your dad's a bad guy. That affects your sister. Mm-hmm. Him being abandoning and not available because he's going to jail because he's a bad guy affects your sister. Mm-hmm. It's who he is that's affecting your sister. The consequence of his behavior is the way he conducts himself.
Well, he's not such, he has like his bad like times where he gets like mad at everybody. And
No.
What? No, I'm not saying,
When he gets like everybody, how does he behave?
He gets mad over little things.
And what does he do?
Doesn't, like, hit anybody.
What does he do?
Huh? Oh, just, like, his tone of voice gets, like, really, like, angry, and he'll, like...
Why would his uncle or his brother... Why would, or who convicted him?
My uncle, but it was my mom's, brother.
Yeah, they convicted him for going into the house.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a bad guy, your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Now he's going to be out of the picture for a while. How old's your sister?
My little sister, she's 10.
Okay.
11.
So now you got to be there for her, keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
And
make sure she doesn't get involved with bad guys, which is what she'll be prone to do.
Right. Derek, I'm sorry you got to go through this yourself. You're the man of the house now, unfortunately. And you got to look after your sister, and you got to look after yourself, too, because it's not easy on you. It's got to be awfully weird when Dad's going to the pokey, especially when he's been accused of diddling someone who's in the family.
Yeah.
It's got to cause a little bad blood in the family, I'm guessing. That's a bigger faux pas than not paying back a loan or putting a dent in someone's car.
Maybe, by the way, why the brother-in-law is kind of upset. May have something to do with it.
Well, it's just, I know, when you're out back barbecuing, you invite someone over, and they knock on the front door, and you can't hear them because you got that Bobby McFerrin song cranked up, that Don't Worry song, and then the guy lets himself in, but maybe doesn't wipe his feet. I'd be pretty pissed, too.
Well, especially the point where she's banging your daughter.
And that, too. And that, too. Should we take a break, Drew?
I think so.
All right. We'll do that. We'll be right back. Yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Going to hop back on the phones because that's what we could pay to do, Drew.
Right on, Master.
Shannon?
Hi.
18?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a question. I'm 5 feet tall and I weigh about 100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dating a guy who's about 6'2", 170, and he's quite big in the penile region.
Yeah.
And
nice.
When I'm on top.
That's nice.
I like that small girl, big penis thing.
I see. Well, that's what you aim for, to make your penis look bigger.
Absolutely.
I see. Okay, got it.
Well, if you're a guy who's 6'2 and 180 pounds, that might not be a huge guy. But if you stuff yourself into a Miata and take the top down, you look like a big guy in that car, right?
Nice.
That's what I want to...
That's why they lowered all the door jams in the Western scenes and all the
movies. Yeah, made John Wayne seem taller. Yeah,
got it. Shannon?
Yeah, well, anyways, I mean, he's about 8 inches. And when I'm on top, I tend to bleed after we have sex.
Good times.
And I don't know if this is because I'm on the shot and he may be loosening some of the...
Yes, that is basically...
Blood.
Yes, that is why, basically.
Yeah? Okay,
yes.
So...
Is it hurt you? Are you in pain?
It did once, but we've kind of fixed that.
How did you fix...
So if I start to feel pain, we stop.
How did... So you have like a... high sign or something?
Excuse me?
How do you know? Well,
like, if it hurts, I stop.
Okay.
Pretty much. But I was wondering if there's any other positions we can do where he won't penetrate as deeply.
You have first cowgirl, wheelbarrow.
Yeah, I figured you'd say wheelbarrow. You haven't told us yet what you're doing.
Is it?
She's getting on top. That's what
she said.
I was on top and...
This is the love grommet. I could have moved a few of those units tonight, Drew.
Yeah, love grommet and condom loader. Oh, I mean, seriously, the world needs those things.
I think a love grommet does exist. You could probably find it over the internet. It's probably not called the love grommet, but it's a round thing. Looks like a batting donut. Or it just looks like a regular donut for people who know what a batting donut is. And it's made of urethane. Or some sort of spongy-like material. Some foam-like material.
Kind of just thinking of the marketing possibilities now that we live in the day of SpongeBob SquarePants, too.
Guy slips it over his penis. All of a sudden, when you get down to the real, you know, tough part, the end of the road, instead of him going in, it grabs the love donut.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can stuff that love donut in, you're a better man than I.
Well, then we have the love apron at that point.
Right. And it gives you a little spring back action, which is good for the lower back. I'm going to need a chiropractor to explain it. But I'll use him for the infomercial.
Okay.
We haven't made fun of chiropractors in a long time. These are not real doctors, everybody. Please, don't look at them as real human beings either. I don't know any of them that I like.
Speaking of not real doctors, have you been watching the Dr. Phil thing?
No. No.
It's rather disturbing.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, Shannon, you get on top. You set the depth. That's the best position you could do. Agreed, Drew?
Yeah. Anything where she feels like she can control it. I mean, I guess behind doggy, she could kind of be in control too, but mm-hmm. he might like break loose a little bit. So.
Well, Dr. Phil, yes. What's your problem with Dr. Phil, Drew?
It's just...
he is Mr. Personality.
Mr. Personality.
That I know.
But there's no... There's nothing, it's a lot of evocation of dangerous emotional material. I mean, someone's going to kill him or kill themselves.
All right.
Number one, yeah, you're okay with that.
Yeah.
And then number two, when there is sort of stuff offered, there's nothing there.
Well, here's...
No understanding of what we're dealing with.
Here's the problem. Dr. Drew is the real McCoy, and the Dr. Phils and the Dr. Lores of the world really aren't fit to... tie Dr. Drew's wingtip shoes.
God bless you.
They're really not. Drew's the real McCoy. They're not. But Drew doesn't have adequate representation. And so therefore, he gets what he deserves.
The other thing, it seems like people like BS. You know what I mean?
Oh, people are just idiots. They'd like what was... Look, here's the thing about people. They're stupid for the most part. And if you give them bad pizza, they'll just eat bad pizza, and they'll eat it. They'll eat a Pizza Hut, and they'll think it's the best thing they ever had. But you know what? If you gave them good pizza, they would like that, and they'd like it even better. Now, Drew's good pizza, Dr. Phil's bad pizza. People are stupid. They're like your 9-year-old kids. Pizza Hut is fine with them, And until someone gives them good pizza, they're craving Pizza Hut. That's right. How it goes. Right. Isn't this how your kids work? You give your kids a couple of Pizza Hut things, before they know it, all they want is that crampy pizza.
Jimmy and I brought this, or actually Jimmy, I think, raised this whole thing, and he was saying it used to drive him crazy how certain radio talents were being revered as geniuses, and he had to sit there and listen to that.
Who would that be?
Not any of the stations we work on. Rick Dees.
Oh, Rick Dees. Well, no one ever thought he was a genius.
But you know what I'm saying? That he made a lot of money, and Jimmy was sitting there.
They know, but listen, it's a well-known fact that people who listen to hip-hop music are stupid. And they just, these stupid people listen to stupid hip-hop stations, then the stupid Rick Dees comes on, and it's more bad pizza for everybody. Raina?
Hi.
You're 18?
Yes, I am.
You like good pizza, don't you, baby?
Definitely.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm calling is because my boyfriend is significantly older than I am, and I totally am happy. Everything's fine. It's just that he's been talking about getting married if we're still together in a few years, and I'm not really sure, like, where I stand. It's been getting kind of weird lately, and I was wondering what your opinion was on.
How old is he?
30.
How old are you?
18.
And what's weird about it for you? You don't want to get married?
No, it's not weird for me, but all my friends think it's weird. I don't want to tell my parents.
Where'd you meet him?
I met him through work.
What does he do for a living?
Her boss.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
I don't really want to.
Generally, what does he do? I mean, just a professional, businessman?
No. Not
construction?
Not construction. More of just like a... He works in our town.
He works in town?
Yeah, it's...
Same 20 questions, honey. Drew says approximately, generally, is he a professional? Does he run a business? And he works in town. Drew, where do you work?
In town.
Mm-hmm.
A couple towns, in fact.
Yeah. Hey, Anderson, where are you working these days?
I work here.
Still in town. Still in town, Ann? Town?
Yeah.
Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit. Where are you working? Belize or you in town? Town? Brian, if you were working, where would you be working? In town. So that narrows it down to everybody in this goddamn room. Okay. Raina, you got to hang on for a while now because you need to be punished. And
do you
severely.
Own a ranch in Ojai?
In town.
Sam, 17.
Idiots.
Hello.
Hey, Sam, what's up?
Hey. I was just wondering if meditation would help have sex longer.
What? Premeditation?
Just meditation.
How long do you go before you ejaculate?
10 minutes.
That's not really premature.
Then you ain't. If you think you got, you're not doing 10 minutes. If you think you got a problem, it's more like 2.5.
10 minutes?
No.
I don't know.
10 minutes is a long time.
It's short. 10 minutes is long?
Yeah.
You're not doing 10 minutes.
Well, then I must be. Yeah, you're right. You're probably 2 minutes, but it feels like 10 minutes. It's short. I know that.
Okay.
And your girlfriends complain about it?
Yeah.
What do they say?
She says, "What's up with this?
No.
Come on."
Okay, here we go.
All right. No. See you, Sam.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Now it's a clash of the jackasses.
Let's try to get Raina on and finish her up.
All right. Yeah, let me talk to this Raina.
All right.
Raina?
Yeah.
Do you hear my voice?
Yes, I do.
Drew, do you see my finger?
It's poised, hovering over the drop button.
All right, now, tell us generally what line of work this guy's in.
Okay, he does not have a college education.
What kind of job?
See you, baby. Have fun. Hope it all works out.
Anyway, let me just add that. 3018 is just...
Tell us generally what kind of work he's in. He does not have a college education. Well, now, we'll probably split down the middle of this room, right? Mm. Wait a minute. I think I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be that as it may.
Now,
3018
now,
is the upper
now,
limits of... Here we go. Aaron, 18.
Don't. Just go. Call another show. Call Dr. Phil. Aaron?
Yeah, hey, what's up?
What's happening?
All right, I don't even know how to begin to describe this. Like, my parents raised me as Catholic, and I've had this girlfriend, and I've had these intense feelings about her for a long time,
I'm like,
we got just 30 seconds. Let's just finish it.
No, there's too many people yapping in the background. All right, what do you want to do?
Go to break. I got to pee.
Okay, we'll be back. Hey, everybody. That's the show, as the show always is, and we will not alter it. Not
no matter
for you or anybody else or any of you publicists who are not listening right now because you're all on your backs, you filthy whores, all of you, all of you.
Oh,
you horrible publicists. Horrible people. Yes. So, I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. First, I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones, the coffee, and the water all week long. And reminding me that Deuce Daly was never on this show. He's, in fact, a running back for Philadelphia, and we had someone who sounded like that on this show. I want to thank Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit, for bringing your mediocre attitude into the studio night after night. It's been upgraded to mediocre. You should be happy about that.
From bad to mediocre.
I'm just saying upgraded.
It's good.
Could have been lower mediocre, but it's mediocre.
She's pissed now.
That's it. Now we're going to pay.
Could slide.
And doing a good job on the coffee and water as well as the phones. And, of course, producer Ann for putting her feminine stink not only on the show, but on Drew's trapezoid muscles as we speak, giving him a big rub down.
Producers are vastly overrated.
Right. But booking all kinds of great guests and really blossoming into a beautiful, beautiful woman. Dropped 20 pounds. Never looked better. Well, yeah. It's not, you weren't fat before. But,
Bonesy.
It's really coming together, whatever's going on. And also, guys, not lost anyway. Engineer Anderson for using those magic fingers like Houdini used his wand and sliding those potentiometers to and fro. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Hold on. I'm flicking my thing around.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.